I need to see these guys again. Robert Randolph and the Family Band, they're phenomenal. I got to go to the Google. Are they still playing? Come back. Come to town. Come somewhere nearby. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, 108, News Talk 830 WCCO. Fun with Jamie Yuccas at the bottom of the hour. And an hour from now, we're going to talk about the extraordinary differences. Minnesota to Wisconsin and cannabis regulations, because you read the story. I read the story. Excellent guess on the topic. Not close.
Little different. A lot of regulations here.
Yeah, not so much. Not so much in Wisconsin.
By the way, Robert Randolph, December 1st, State Theater, Minneapolis.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Oh, December.
Want me to order you some tickets right now?
Yeah.
We get that done.
Oh, my God. That is phenomenal news. December 1st, please be, what's a Sunday?
You can make that work.
I can make that work. Is he with the family or is he on his own? I hope he's with the family still.
It's a great question.
He's absolutely worth it. Okay, how about this as a side topic? Tell me the artist, because we're going to get to politics here. Tell me the artist you've seen the most. And ballpark how many times? Robert Randolph, I have to be at least five with Robert Randolph. I think I'm higher with Elton.
Like Elton's, really?
Like Elton's coming to the house or something. And he's
good for you.
He's my Amazon guy.
That's nice.
What if your Amazon guy was like a star? Like, hey, there's Rob Lowe.
I could see Rob Lowe moonlighting as an Amazon guy.
You know, I used to have Bea Arthur, but she passed away.
Yeah.
You know?
Assuming they're researching a role. Oh, no. No, this is just a side hustle.
Yeah.
I've seen Weezer probably about five times. They're my number one because that was, I mean, prime late high school, college years
right,
when I was going to shows regularly.
And I don't think Lamont Cranston counts.
Why not?
Well, great fixture. Do we want to count the locals?
If you're really into a local
band, why not?
If you show up at a festival and, hey, Lamont Cranston just happens to be there, but if you make
you're
the
going.
Point to go see him,
you're going to see. Yeah. Well, Carter's seen Phish 5,000 times. So.
That was just last year.
Yeah. Robert Randolph at State Theater, very intriguing. Okay, tell me, 651-461-9226. We got a few things where I want you to be interactive here. The election is 3 weeks from today. I don't know if I'm doing the show 3 weeks today because we're hosting game night. I probably will.
Grab a nap in between?
I'm in. I'll be here. Adam will be here. Blois will be here. Like it if you're here. Why not? Come on.
I'm really busy that night. Got a lot going on.
I'm having a little hot chocolate right now, too. I'd have it if it was 95, too.
It's Tuesday. It's dance night for the oldest, so I got a thing.
I thought we're bringing the main guns, right? You're out? You don't want to be here?
No, not
it's
really.
It's go time. It's election night coverage. Might be here till 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't want to be here. That's it right there. You've nailed it, Chad. Well done.
Wow. Thanks a lot. So the election, we're going to start at 8, too. We're not starting at 7. 8. 7.
And 9.
I think 8, we better. We shut her down here. We're now wave estates. I think 8 is fine. That's the way to go.
All right. If you feel good just stealing an hour from Henry, that's good.
I don't think he's going to mind.
He might. He might have a lot on his chest that day.
If he wants to stick around for election coverage, fine. He's willing to be here. I got to be on my little, I got to be nookie and stay home. Stay home. Get under my blankie. Watch something on, what old person network do you watch? CBS, probably?
TV Land.
TV Land.
Yeah.
There we go.
Really into the Golden Girls reruns.
Petticoat Junction, you know you want to put that on
That's
here.
A good one,
a little
too.
More hot chocolate.
Little Gunsmoke. All the classics, Chad.
Where's this from?
They don't make TV like they used to.
What TV show was that from? And who had to tell her to knock it off? The election is 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Let's get to 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today. I want you to text me at 651-461-9226. Who do you believe, as of today, is going to win? And ballpark, how many electoral votes? I don't care the percentage because most likely the vice president is going to get more votes than the president. If Donald Trump gets more votes, it's over and it's a blowout. Donald Trump, in the previous two elections, most polling until the end was underpolled. By the time you would get to election day, the polls would narrow. So that's why a lot of people, when they see these pick'em polls, Dave, because they're very close or back and forth, they think, "Woo, does Trump have the momentum?" I think he does until people consume what he says. I mean, I'm just reading some of the accounts, what he was offering up in Chicago. Bizarreville. Just confused by questions. Tariff is the most beautiful word. And he, again, thinks none of us are going to face any repercussions for tariffs. If I had to say today, Dave Harrigan, I would say Donald Trump. I'm not going to spend 1 second considering voting for Donald Trump. But I would say he, at least at the moment, has some of the numbers more in his favor. And I would say Trump, but I think we're going to have 10 more events that can change things back and forth. To her credit, she's going on with Bret Baier tomorrow. Seems like they're both maybe going on Joe Rogan. I don't think we're getting another debate. What unforeseen could happen? Seems like the White House is trying to get Israel to do two things regarding Iran. Don't hit their oil. Don't hit their nuclear, because we think that could cause World War III. And don't do anything until the election's done. We know how Bibi Netanyahu, just whatever Joe says, he pays no attention to. I would say right now, with, 55% confidence?
Strong.
Not a lot. I'd say Trump wins, narrow victory. 280-ish, somewhere in there. What would you say right now?
I have less than 55% confidence. I think I'm about 50% confidence.
Yeah.
So I'm very much waffling. And I still lean towards when, and the fact that poll numbers can be shifting at this point between the two candidates is ridiculous. If you still don't know, come on, let's go.
They're close.
Yes, they're close.
They're close.
But you still see a poll every other day. Trump 3 points ahead. Yeah. Harris 3 points ahead. Yeah. And, you know,
I was joking about how they're not close in their policy position.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just motivating the folks who aren't thrilled by either one. And then the small group of people who are capable, who went Obama 12, Trump 16, Biden 20.
Yeah. And I think there's enough moderates out there that really don't care for either party or really don't care for either candidate all that much, that are at the end of the day going, I just can't sign up for 4 more years of Don Trump.
Okay, so you're going to go slightly Harris right now.
Yes, and I'm 50% sure of that.
No, you got to be
maybe
50,
51.
Yeah, you got to be 51 if you're making a selection.
Yeah, 50.1.
Yeah, that's weak. As Dan Cook is pointing out, that's weak. When Dan would do that, I would not allow that.
I don't care.
Yeah. Very disappointing.
I'll be weak if I have to be weak.
But Mr. you are 55. You lean. Yeah, exactly. Right. I did say for a year and a half that Trump would be beating Biden. And I did say yesterday, I think other candidates, other Democratic candidates, would have been better than her. I do, to separate from Biden. Just like I think there are half dozen Republican candidates who are better than Trump.
Yeah.
Although, do they lose the MAGA folks? If Trump would have lost to, let's say, Nikki Haley, do the MAGA folks stay? Let's say it's Shapiro. Do some of the folks who are very upset about how far Netanyahu has continued to go with killing civilians, would you have lost that? Right? So there is the trade-off. I have other political issues, so we got two topics at hand. If the election is today and not 3 weeks from now, who wins? Not who you're voting for. Who wins and about how many electoral votes? You need 270. And then since Dave found Robert Randolph coming back, and this has got to be about a half dozen for me, who is the artist you've had a chance to see the most? What do you got? I want to react to a note that came out yesterday, too, about the Biden administration and Iran, where they conveyed this, and I'm far from convinced that Donald Trump would have done the same. Chime in through a text, 651-461-9226. It's drama early. We already have our winner. It's some of the music that Don was playing last night. I don't think he was having a medical episode himself. I think that's way overblown. I truly think, I don't think anybody's denying that you had a couple people, some sort of medical episode. It sounds like it wasn't like life-altering.
No, it sounded like it was two people that fainted because it was very hot in the
very
building
hot.
They were in.
He answers a few questions from Christy Noem. I'm sure those were difficult questions.
Hard-hitting.
Hard-hitting, really tough ones. And then decides just to play music for 40 minutes, and it was awkward as you know what. If you want to question his cognitive skills, watch some of the Chicago stuff today from some of the reporting. Now, are you telling me you might have given me the wrong info, or as my father would say, the wrong dope on Robert Randolph?
I'm very confused by it, because on Robert Randolph's website, he has it listed December 1st, 2024, State Theater, Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But the show itself is like an Allman Brothers family revival, and he was a contributor with the Allman Brothers at some point. So I don't know if he's part of that, not with the family band.
I mean,
it's very confusing.
Allman's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, my former partner probably there loves Allman Brothers. A lot to love about it. I could do that, but it doesn't excite me as much as Robert Randolph. Let me ask you this. There's reporting yesterday that the Biden administration reached out to Iran and said that any attempt on Donald Trump's life will be viewed as an act of war. I agree with that 1,000%. And I tweeted this should have taken place right from the get-go. I'm not saying it did or didn't. I don't know. But as soon as the administration could verify that Iran, and it seems to be verified by a lot of sources now, that Iran has or is still attempting to assassinate Donald Trump. Not the ones that have happened already. Those are separate. Including, I still don't think we have any idea what happened with this guy who is a self-described sovereign citizen and the weaponry he had over the weekend, where he didn't get close to Trump when he was in Coachella. Was he checking on the Western White House for me? Was he headed to Palm Desert just
That's
to check
possible.
The place out? I appreciate that, Don. Do you agree that the Biden administration, because I agree 1,000%, that this needed to be conveyed to Iran at the highest level, as much as Joe Biden detests Donald Trump, that if you attempt to kill a former president, who may be the next president, that is an act of war?
Yeah.
No doubt.
If whether he was a former president or not, if he is a candidate for the president of the United States of America and there's an election coming up, country wants to take him out. Yeah, that's an act of war for sure.
Donald Trump is now president. Let's just reverse things. Trump wins in 2020. He didn't. By the way, I don't want anybody else to ask Trump if he won in 2020 or J.D. Vance. We got it. They're lying. They didn't win. Vance has acknowledged many times before that Trump didn't win, and now he has to play the stupid game because Trump cannot allow his ego to admit that he lost, and he did. They don't need to ask anymore. We know. They're lying. 100%. If Donald Trump was finishing up his term right now, and they were attempting to assassinate a former, let's say it's Barack Obama, would Donald Trump automatically tell Iran, if you attempt to kill Barack Obama, this is an act of war? Are you convinced that he alone, there would be people with this in the administration, at least the first administration? Yes. This administration, God knows. I think it's going to have seven caddies from Mar-a-Lago in it, to be honest. Are you convinced Donald Trump would convey that to Iran? Because I am not.
It would take pushing, probably.
Act of war, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it would take somebody in his inner circle, in his cabinet, to say, Donald, you need to do this, and really work to convince him, probably. But I think it would eventually get done.
That cabinet is so different from 16. Mattis, Tillerson, Esper, John Kelly. Those type of individuals are not going to be a part of it. These are going to be people who are incredibly loyal to Donald Trump. I think it's a sad statement that we're not convinced. I'm not convinced. I'm not saying he wouldn't, but I'm not convinced. Far from it. Okay. Music and politics. Lamont Cranston, group of superstars. Harris with 323 electoral votes. That'd be a blowout.
Good win.
I voted Republican every time other than Obama's first term. I vote for change, but it was a master of deception by never telling anybody what his change is going to be. That's nonsense. He told what change he was going to offer up over and over and over again. You're allowed to disagree with the change he offered up, but no. I think Trump will get his ass kicked by the vice president. This is the same texture, by the way. I think Nikki Haley would have beaten Biden by a landslide. Chad, save my concert ticket stubs going back to 1973. Wow. Rolling Stones 5 times. Springsteen 7. Petty 6. Hey, Chad, I think Trump will win unless he says something idiotic before the election. Well, he says that on a daily basis. Literally does. Chad, you don't want Trump to win. You don't like Harris either. I don't agree with so much Harris's policy positions. That's what I've said. However, not voting isn't a good option. No, I'm voting. I'm 1,000% voting. Never said that one time. Chad, this most chilling radio I've heard in a long time. Trump at 55%. Oof, I have Harris just over 280. Well, that's a pick 'em. I mean, so this person's not convinced either. Trump will win big, 306 electoral. He win all the swing states except Wisconsin. Kind of like Timmy deployed the National Guard too late. Well, if you've listened to the show at all, you know I was crushing Tim Walz and Jacob Fry on a regular basis that week. And you can look up the tweets to back it up. I'm actually surprised that J.D. Vance didn't make that appearance earlier. Aren't you? I would have thought a week or so after Walz was selected that Vance would go to the precinct. By the way, the third precinct, they should have had plans on the third precinct in George Floyd Square years ago. It's ridiculous. We haven't made progress there. But you don't have to agree with what he said, but Tim Walz failed significantly that week, in my opinion.
Did Vance not appear there? They didn't talk about it. You know, Walz was named as the VP pick for the Harris ticket, and you start in on his military service? You've got the big shiny apple right in front of you, the George Floyd aftermath.
Trump is totally unfit to be president. I should wish all those who are constantly saying every day that Biden was unfit to be president would show at least a hint of objectivity. I think there are plenty of people who say this. I think there is some of it, too, that because he just says the bizarre and the lies so unbelievably often that you become desensitized to it, and we shouldn't be. It's as if other politicians are judged in normal cases, and Trump, because it's just it's relentless, it's judged a different way. And if you don't think Donald Trump lies, I just don't think you're being objective. Has Harris morphed into this moderate kind of out of nowhere? Yeah. Have I said I'm not even sure if I'm going to vote for? Yes. Did I say starting in July of 22, Biden wasn't up for the job? Yes. Trump's far from the only politician to ever lie, but no one, no politician has ever lied at his level, I believe. You get to disagree. It's part of the show. Jamie Yuccas, next. Jamie is here, like all of our guests. She is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Sports, sports, sports. Is your whole life sports? 1 minute, you're at the Dodgers game. I'm basically giving the middle finger to the Twins, too. I thought that's what, you know, hey.
They're in different divisions, Chad.
Yeah, my new team made the playoffs. Twins, you're dead to me. But then you recovered because you were supporting your school and you were hobnobbing with friends and celebrities when the Gophers went to Pasadena and played UCLA. Tell me about the two events. Your Dodgers won one with the Mets now, but that was the Padres decider. So just the two classic sports venues. And then with the second one, obviously the Rose Bowl, seeing a lot of people from your home state.
Yes. So I'd like to point out that even the Polats don't want anything to do with the Twins anymore.
That's true.
They put them for sale.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm allowed to root for the team that I've now lived in the city for like 10 years. And I hate the Yankees because of the Twins. So it all comes full circle back to Minnesota. And, yeah, the Gopher game was awesome. I met some great Minnesota fans. I got to run into some old friends like Pat Kessler and his wife, Mim, who's fantastic. I saw your old producer, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ran into a bunch of people. It was a
Hauser.
Great time.
You saw my buddy Tom Hauser.
Yes, I did. Yes, yes, yes. Saw Craig, who you used to work with at CCO Radio.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, ran into a bunch of people. It was like family reunion time.
I'm told, though, unless you knew them, you had security around you and said, don't get within 5 feet. True or false?
Yeah, his name's Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my security.
That would be your husband. Okay, was that your first time to the Rose Bowl?
The funny thing is my first time seeing a football game at the Rose Bowl. I've been to the Rose Bowl. They do an amazing fireworks show at the Rose Bowl at the 4th of July. And then I actually saw Taylor Swift like 10 years ago at the Rose Bowl. And I was there for the parade, didn't go inside the Rose Bowl itself, but was at the parade, the Rose Bowl parade.
Okay, so. The Rose Bowl parade is a nationwide tradition, obviously even more in Pasadena. How are you traditionally with parades, and what did you think about that parade?
It was an amazing parade. I mean, the floats are incredible. Like, in person, like what you see on TV, it's kind of like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
Right.
You know, on TV, it looks great. And in person, it's just as cool. So
I'm not
very cool.
Normally, I'm not much of a parade person unless, you know, there's a family friend connection. But with those two, they're so detailed. There's so much skill behind it. I would love to see either one. I'm in for either one. I think it'd be well worth it.
Oh, yeah, they're both fantastic. The funny thing is both have kind of, like, just as cool events pre-parade. So, like, when I lived in New York, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, there's a lot of people who live, oh, gosh, I can't remember, maybe it's on 70th, but, you know, they line up the floats the night before. And so you go and you take pictures, and people on that street host parties, and it's super fun. And then the parade itself is fun. And the Rose Bowl kind of does the same thing where they let people in and you see all the flowers and it smells amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's very cool.
Okay. Dodgers among the teams out in L.A., pecking order-wise. You know, this town, yeah. You lived here long enough, you know, the Vikings are number one and everybody else is fighting for a distant second. Where are the Dodgers in that ranking?
Oh, it's super high. I mean, no offense, but the Angels, you know, they have not played well the last few years, and it seems like there are some diehard fans. But the pure number of fans for the Anaheim Angels too went down significantly when Shohei left.
Sure.
Them to come to the Dodgers.
How about compared to the Lakers?
The Lakers?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to do it that way?
Yes.
It was interesting. On Friday night, LeBron was there with his wife, which was fun to see him support the boys in blue. I mean, honestly, Dodgers and Lakers are pretty they're pretty neck and neck. Two different types of crowds, you know, for sure. You get, a lot more celebrities at the Laker games, you know. You get a lot more family. Like, the thing I loved about being at the Dodger game, which, by the way, Doug surprised us with tickets, but last minute, very, you know, super expensive. We were up in the reserve section, which is nosebleed, but it was still such a great crowd. And what I loved about it is, like, we had Latino families behind us. I had Japanese women next to me. There was a group, you know, in front. It's such a diverse group of people that goes to the Dodger games and lots of families. It just, the atmosphere is fun. The Lakers is a little bit more like, I feel like I have to wear like my nice pair of jeans and, you know, like buy something at the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're neck and neck. I have to say, I've been surprised, like the football teams out here, because there's been so much, like this team moved and that team's no longer here and this was once the Rams. The football teams out here don't get a lot of track. I know more Raiders fans in Los Angeles than I do Chargers or Rams fans.
Yeah, that's what I hear from my friends out there. Yeah, even with the Rams winning the title since they moved back there. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. Yeah. Come back. I want to talk tipping. I want to talk Joker of Failure. I'm going to talk Walgreens and Disney and getting a little raunchy. Let's see if we can get to all those topics. Our friend Jamie Ukas from CBS News with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. Right back with Jamie here. Okay, so Disney, normally people think of Disney, Jamie, like you could take your steps on there. Well, Deadpool, right, having a ton of success. Then we have Deadpool and Wolverines with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. So we now have a character experience at the theme park tied to Deadpool and Wolverine where they're telling adult jokes. In one wisecrack, Dave, you found this. Deadpool says he's been on a dating app Grindr and has seen the profile of Tony Stark. There's another one related to sex rather graphically. Dave, you and Jamie have the younger kids now. Dave Harrigan, how would you feel when you're bringing your two young girls to Disney and they also have Deadpool and Wolverine, which, by the way, I think they're funny movies. Do they have to apologize at all for their family theme? Harrigan, you first, then Jamie.
It would be nice to throw, maybe we don't need to go quite so blue. I mean, I know about the Deadpool
Not
movies.
True to the character, then.
I know about the movie, so I wouldn't bring a 7- and 4-year-old to go see that particular show, but a lot of parents might not. They might think, oh, Disney, I'm sure they've got it toned down a little bit, right?
Doesn't sound like it.
Nope.
Does not sound like it. Will they backpedal on this one, Jamie? What's your guess?
Well, so it's interesting to me because this actually came up in our household the other day. My stepson is 10. His good friend, mom, well, he was playing lacrosse, and the mom was talking to my husband, Doug, on the sidelines, right? She goes, oh, my gosh, Doug, I made a terrible mistake. I let my kid see Deadpool and his little brother, who's like 6,
yeah,
see it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't realize. So I do think it's something people don't realize is, like, problematic. She was, like, mortified about it, but then was like, yeah, but they kind of found it funny, and we talked about it, and it's okay. So I don't know. I mean, I guess every family's different as to how they want to handle these things. I have to say, we let Archie watch Schitt's Creek with us. That might not be appropriate, but, like, he asked us questions about stuff then, and I don't know. Most people probably wouldn't let their 10-year-old watch it, but he finds it funny and has that kind of sense of humor already.
Walgreens, I'm sure you saw this. You talked about it today. How about they announce now they're closing 1,200 stores nationwide, trying to slash, just a minor number, $1 billion in costs. This really concerns me for areas that are not central to major cities, Jamie, right? Where it's more rural, more isolated, where, by the way, the Walgreens in your city might be literally the only one unless you drive another 30, 40, 50 minutes.
Well, and it's concerning, too, to me, right, that, like, it's one of those places that, you know, in terms of not just medication, but, I mean, that's a huge concern, but also just, like, everyday products. Like, I think about some of the small towns growing up. You know, the mom-and-pop businesses are also gone. It used to be like maybe you'd be able to pop into the grocery and get some stuff, but then you popped in the mom-and-pop shop and got it. But that's not the case anymore at all. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay, this one's from Royal Caribbean. They're just the tipping situation. They're acknowledging that by staying in the suites, you're going to pay another $21 per guest. So, as Dave was saying to me, he's right. It's not really a tip. That's just a part of the charge. So, Jamie Yuccas, when you're going to stay at a hotel or when you're going out to dinner, instead of getting the screen at you, and sometimes now it's, here are your options, 25%, 30, 35, whatever crazy number it is until you can find in the very small part of the screen, how about your own custom? Would you rather still have the option for the tipping, okay, or would you rather have just the food prices, the hotel prices, just incorporate the extra money that these businesses are assuming they're going to get from you as a tip?
I mean, first of all, can I just say tipping culture has gotten, like, insane?
Yes.
Like,
I agree.
This is one particular, and like, in this instance, if I know that I'm signing on for the suite and this is what they're thinking, then I don't have to think, I don't have to do math, fine, add it, that's fine. But, like, when I go now to a counter and, like, I'm getting my coffee myself or whatever, and then the screen flips around and it's asking for a tip and the person literally did nothing, I'm like, what is this? Like, how have we gotten there? And I'm somebody that, like, was a waitress. Like, I know everyone counts on tips, you know, in some of these industries, but, like, I think it's gone a little too far.
I think it's ventured way too far. And I feel like I'm a pretty good tipper. I don't think they're going to put a statue up there about my tipping, but I feel like I'm pretty good. For me, I talked about Dave. One of the times, this is months ago, I'm trying to remember what store I was at. I did the self-checkout.
Yeah.
And at the end of the self-checkout, they asked me if I wanted to leave a tip.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hello?
It's crazy.
Hello? I mean, wait a second. I just got my groceries. I walked in there. The policy of this show, Jamie, is to go to self-checkout. Swagger. And you know to work the screens, okay? Swagger, know to work it. If you don't, you're out for like 6 months. I did it, and also, by the way, you can't have 400 items, and below, okay? I had my 9, 7, 6, whatever it was, and then I'm also leaving a tip. What?
Right.
What for watching me?
I know, but that, like, what does this say about our society? Like, are we not paying people enough, and we're expecting people who are getting paid well to then pick up that, or
some of
are
that.
We?
Yep.
Or is everything just so expensive now? Like, I don't, you know, like, I don't know. Like, how does this work out? What's the math?
Well, for the major companies, do I have a ton of sympathy? No, but there are a lot of small business owners. There are millions and millions and millions of small business owners. And the pushback is, well, you got to pay your employees more. A lot of these folks, Jamie, in whatever business, their margins are very thin.
Yeah.
So just to assume they automatically can pay their employers more, it's not as easy. It would be great. Be great if everybody was worth $5 billion. But it doesn't always work that way. And if you're a business owner, it doesn't make you the evil, bad person automatically.
Yeah, I agree.
Tell me one thing you're doing later today. One thing.
Actually, I'm on my way to lunch. Yeah, which is fun. And then tomorrow I'm flying to Vancouver for a little fall break. It's Doug's birthday next week, and we're going to get out of town. Doug's never been to Canada, and I've never been to Vancouver. So that's what we got going.
Have a great time. We'll talk next week.
Thank you. Sounds good.
Jamie Ukas every Tuesday with us right here on CCO. Your Lindis Construction Time Check. It's time to make your home more energy efficient and get free installation labor on Infinity from Marvin Windows. What's going on with the disparity with Minnesota and Wisconsin? Regarded a lot, in this case, cannabis regulations and policies. Good guests on that coming up right past the top of the hour. That'll start with CBS and then Ari here in the home of the Twins, CCO.